For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
College and pro, we start in college. The ACC and Big 12 will be one-bid conferences. Clemson and Pitt both lost this weekend. Iowa State and Kansas State lost. They're thinning out, with Notre Dame likely in, a Boise stealing a spot, or earning a spot, I guess. I feel like it's a one-bid Big 12 and ACC.
I don't know if this is over. I think I'm spot on with you for the Big 12. There is still a chance the ACC could get two. Don't underestimate what SMU is doing. It's just keep an eye on it.
The other scenario would be Miami loses the ACC title game and then gets in as an at-large.
Right. So SMU still has Boston College, Virginia, Cal. I think they're going to be undefeated, and they're going to be playing, most likely, Miami in the championship game. And I do think that York, because they've got a win over a ranked Louisville team. They're the team that took down Pitt. They've got a couple of ranked wins, and the only loss that SMU has right now is to BYU.
I think it's an overreaction too, and it's because of the conference championship games. Those things, there always seems to be some sort of upset on that weekend. It's probably the ACC where I would say Miami could be maybe susceptible in that situation. I mean, the thing is, they want to win so that they get the bid.
And the bye.
And the bye. But I'm going to say we got too much football left. It's an overreaction for now.
Michigan and Michigan State should have hired Kurt Cignetti instead. Indiana football was nothing, and now they're something. They're working with less than both the Spartans and the Wolverines, and they're accomplishing much, much more.
No, I think it's an overreaction. And I know that you can look at it. Kirk Cignetti, when he came in, was not preparing for a bowl game, was not doing anything, had a chance to hit the transfer portal early and often. He's done a great job. And I don't want to underestimate the job that he's done. Winning, being undefeated, and doing what he's done at Indiana is remarkable.
What's Jonathan Smith's excuse? He hit the portal. He brought in his players from his old school, and his team was 37 points inferior to Kurt Cignetti.
I think the resources at Michigan State are greater than the resources at Indiana.
Which makes it even more embarrassing.
The pull over time will be there for Michigan State versus Indiana. Kirk Cignetti has way outkicked anything that I thought he could do at Indiana. Now, can he do it year in and year out?
Exactly. And I would just say the guy that he replaced is a perfect example why we shouldn't overreact to what he's done in such a small sample size. And it's not to discredit anything that they've done, but I know everybody was loving him. Tom Allen was his name?
Yes.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. But Tom Allen never did this. Hold on. They've never started 9-0.
Right, but they were very close to having something like this going on there, and people thought, oh.
They were almost a playoff team in 2020.
He goes to Minnesota and wins that game. You know, I've seen this before.
I've never seen this. I don't know how you can say you've seen this before. They're beating everybody by two touchdowns. They're beating people by four or five touchdowns.
Also the benefit of a lighter schedule.
I mean, they could go on and get into the playoff and make it to the semifinal, and it's still. You need to
and
see.
And you'd still say Jonathan Smith was the better hire?
No, I would just say the long-term thing here is, whoa, chill. It's awesome what they're doing, but I've seen single-season anomalies in sports countless times.
Tell me what their best win is.
Probably Nebraska by 49 points.
Okay.
What is Penn State? Those were jerseys I was referencing. Very clear on that. Penn State should fire James Franklin today.
No, don't leave him there.
They're between a rock and a hard place. They'll make the playoff, and they'll make the playoff most years. The playoff was built for James Franklin, a second, third, fourth place team in a power conference. They won't beat anybody. He's 1-14 against the top five, 3-18 against the top 10. You have to beat those teams. to win a conference title, to win playoff games, to win a title. What does Penn State want to be as a program? They were spotted a 10-0 lead at home with this great team, and they still lost. And it was a brutal sequence on the goal line late in the game. They got to fire James Franklin.
When he got his, okay, not an overreaction. I just don't want it to happen. When he got his 10-year deal, we were there about 2 or 3 weeks after that. And I always like to talk to the bus drivers because they're pretty plugged in. They're always picking up teams, dropping them off. They're really good college football fans for the large part. They hated that James Franklin was under contract for another 10 years.
How long's that contract run?
Well, it was 10 years at the time. I think this was 3 years ago, so he's got at least another 7.
You know, I'm torn on this, and it's not for selfish purposes at all. They were so close on Saturday, and stupid turnovers, unlucky turnovers in some ways, because Ohio State made an unbelievable play. Sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way.
Or sometimes guys just make great plays because they're great players.
I mean, that ball went right in. Never mind. All right, the bottom line is the answer to this is it's not an overreaction and it's time. And the guy to go get is the guy that came back and resurrected the program because the offense at Penn State has been the same for years. And it's the reason why they don't win big games. It's time to go get Bill O'Brien back. He's in the college game. Steal him, and they'll win.
Mm. Aiden Childs is overrated. Another multi-interception day against Indiana. He has 11 on the season. MSU has only played 9 games, and he has 1 game with more than 1 touchdown pass. Aiden Childs has thrown for under 200 yards in 6 of the 9 contests. And before MSU fans get upset at me, don't be Michigan fans from the past hyping up talent that wasn't performing. Aiden has not gotten better. He's overrated.
I think it's an overreaction. I don't know how you rate him, rank him. I think he's got a lot of talent. He just turned 19 years old. And I do believe that he is going to be a good quarterback in the Big Ten. Right now, maybe he's overrated, depending on, again, where you rate him. But I think that's a bit of an overreaction so far.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what to do with the word overrated because I never knew he was overrated.
Well, there's a lot of hype around him.
I know, a lot of hype. I mean,
is it overhyped?
Heck, I'll argue some of the hype's around his last name. You know, it's a cool last child. You know, it's just, where did it ever even come from? Why?
Well, he was an elite recruit. Yes, he came from Oregon State. But, Tom, if I told you one game with more than one passing touchdown?
He hasn't
9 games in?
I don't know what people were expecting, though. Were they thinking
I'm expecting
he's
him not to throw the ball at the linebacker in the middle of the field.
But he's still doing it. So I guess if he was rated, or he is overrated.
Depending because on where he's rated.
The problem here is he's not getting better.
All right, I have a bunch of NFL ones still to get to. Let's rapid fire this. The Denver Broncos will miss the playoffs. They still have a winning record, but that's an ugly loss. They've been propped up with an easy schedule. They still play Kansas City twice, Atlanta, Cincinnati, and the Chargers, who I think are better and will make the playoffs.
I don't think it's an overreaction. You got a rookie quarterback as well. I mean, this season's going to get long. It's going to get hard, and I don't think it's an overreaction.
What is it going to get?
I already told Greg. All right, now this one says...
Overreaction.
7 teams are tied for the worst record in the NFL at 2-7, but the worst of the worst are the Las Vegas Raiders. They will pick first overall. They've lost 5 straight. They just fired their OC and their O-line coach. There's no juice at quarterback. There's no move left to make. They are the worst in football.
I mean, you could certainly make a case. I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
Who would you say? Carolina just won, and there's a little spark there at quarterback.
Cleveland. I think everybody got all excited because they beat Baltimore and Jameis Winston. I know he got excited. I think Cleveland might be the number one overall pick.
I wish the trade deadline was one more week from now because this thing's going so far south so quick in Vegas that they might reconsider trading Crosby because if they're real with themselves, Mark Davis and Brady's an owner now, are talking and saying this is horrific and it's a train wreck. Antonio Pierce is completely lost control there. They're the worst team in the league right now.
The Bears will fire a coach in season for the first time in their franchise history. They clearly didn't respond after the meltdown the week prior.
I love it that he's there. Eberflus. It just They're not going to do it in season. I don't believe that they will. I think it's a bit of overreaction at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen in season either, because record-wise, they still got, they're in it big time.
Yeah, before but four.
I was not surprised at all. In fact, I said it in picks. I thought the Commander game would carry over.
Lions won't be underdogs again this season. I didn't say regular season. I said season. They're already big favorites against Houston this week, more than a field goal. I could see that continuing. I expect they'll be favored when they go to San Francisco. They'll be favored home against the Bills. Every playoff game they would play, and if they make the Super Bowl, remember, the Niners were favored over the Chiefs last year. I think Detroit would be favored head-to-head against Kansas City.
Too early to make. I think it's an overreaction. There's too many things that can happen between now and the end of the season where we have no idea what the other injuries might happen. Do they actually get a pass rusher? I think there's too many variables at this point to say they'll never be an underdog going into a game. It's likely, but I can't say that yet.
Overreaction, because as is, I do think they would be favored in every game. The bottom line is we just, like John said, have no idea what's coming here.
One more quick one. The NFC North race is over.
Again, overreaction. I would like, I'd sit here and say it's over, but lots of variables.
No, it's not an overreaction. It's over. They just won in the two toughest venues in this league and in the division. This team's ready to take off. Other than injuries, and we've said the 14-3 bust all along was other than injuries, this team has everything.
Yeah,
they're going to make a trade. I think they may make more than one trade before tomorrow. They have a need. This team is ready to take off. What's going to happen here is what I said would be the ceiling. This team is going to be the talk of the league for the rest of the season.
Yep.
America loves this team, and that's why I made the comparison to the 85 Bears, you guys. He has put the entire damn thing all together.
Those are overreact, Jim's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you, understands you, and is genuinely interested in your individual or your family's success. That's why I bank, and I think you should be as well, with First Merchants Bank. Here's why. They offer business banking. They offer day-to-day personal banking. You should be doing both with them. I do. First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you, ask you as many questions as they need, as you're willing to answer, so that they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. I've been dealing with them at a high level because I've talked about this. We're moving. And they are willing to talk to you when it works for you. No banker's hours at First Merchants Bank. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. And they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's Dan Campbell. Lions win, double-digit win on the road in the elements. Doesn't matter what adversity they face. We're going to get Dan Campbell's full locker room speech in just a second. Let's get to the phones. Max in Ann Arbor, you're on 97.1.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good.
We are getting used to these mornings, aren't we? It's so nice.
Oh.
So yesterday I was sitting there watching the fourth quarter, and I started paying attention to James Houston. And his effort was absolutely pathetic. I think he looked like he knew his girlfriend was driving over to break up with him, and I think this trade's going down. I think just walking around, not firing off the line, standing straight up, no effort.
But I don't get it, because they're going to need him even if they trade for Za'Darius Smith. Yeah. They're going to need all hands on deck. Yeah, that's not. I didn't see that, but that's not encouraging, because you need everybody on board from that position group.
Yep, I agree. I think he knows that his role is going to be diminished. I think he knows that he might be one of those projects that gets traded out of there. I mean, the effort was pathetic. If you go back and watch the fourth quarter, it was bad.
He's had issues this season. I mean, they had him on the the inactive side of things before the injuries hit.
I don't understand why he's still in the roster. Obviously, they need him right now because they've got to throw somebody out there.
Yeah.
But throughout the course of fall camp, even going into last year, it was coming off his rookie season, and there was talk of he might not make the team last year. Then he did. Then he gets hurt. Now he's on it this year. He just seems to be the one outlier on this roster.
Matt in St. Clair Shores, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good.
So just a quick rant. Bear with me. The NFL is the most infuriating league to watch. I've been a college official in hockey and football, and it's not even close. That penalty on Branch is unacceptable. The language in that rule is forcible contact with the helmet, and there was no driving force with the helmet. You know, they have to understand that the defender's coming down, and Branch still led with shoulder, and the contact was on the side of the helmet, which, in my opinion, is incidental. Yes, I get it. That rule's in place for severity and the hits that obviously nobody wants, but there's a reason that was not made on the field. There's a reason those officials did not make the choice to disqualify Branch, because it didn't stand out. Those types of penalties at those levels of sports just jump out at you. You see it and you know right off the bat that's a disqualification, and that wasn't the case here. I think the NFL literally just stood up and said, we're going to err on the side of safety here and just disqualify Branch and use it as a statement. So it was absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the penalty. I have an issue with the ejection, and I think that's where a lot of people are at this morning. Dan Campbell addressing the team. We love doing this every Monday. Here's him in the locker room after a win.
Love it.
Love it every single time. By the way, Za'Darius Smith has posted on his Instagram, week 10, ... and it's a photo of him in a blue shirt looking ahead to week 10. Trade expected. We'll see if it actually happens. Trade expected any minute now.
Yeah.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, this guy has been in the news. Jason Kelce smashed a Penn State's fan's phone after the fan insulted his brother Travis on Saturday. So Jason was outside the stadium before the game when a fan went up to him and called Travis a homophobic slur for dating Taylor Swift. Well, Jason responded, turned around, grabbed the guy's phone, and just smashed it to the ground. Now, videos of the incident are now circulating online. Here's one from Twitter. Hard to tell what exactly went on there, but yeah. You could hear the guy say something, yell at him, made the comment, and he reacted. And as far as I can tell, he hasn't responded to the incident yet. Yeah, I haven't seen anything. Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be. I'm sure there'll be something.
He will, yes, because then there was also a video of him calling the fan the same slur that was called towards Travis, which I understand he was upset, yeah. He was angry, he was reacting.
Sure. Yeah, but I think we can all understand his reaction, yeah. Other than the, no, he's not, you are.
Yeah, that yes, that maybe he didn't handle that properly, but I understand he was very, very upset.
Well, what a loser to come up to somebody like that. I mean, that's the real story here. What a loser.
I know.
The NFL has decided to suspend him from the Packers-Lions game.
Yes.
Okay.
Philadelphia 76ers center Joel Embiid was involved in an altercation with a newspaper columnist in the locker room after the Sixers lost to the Memphis Grizzlies on Saturday night. So Embiid shoved and I guess shouted at this guy, Marcus Hayes. He's a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And it was all because of this article that was written before the season that questioned his professionalism and his effort to stay in shape. After the incident went down, the NBA, a spokesperson said that they are aware of the incident and they are beginning an investigation.
The article also had something about a dead relative as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
His brother.
Right.
The point he was making is that Embiid hasn't been locked in. The focus isn't there. He didn't need to invoke dead relatives to make that point.
I agree.
Embiid also doesn't need to get physical with the columnist who does show his face in the locker room. I mean, that's at least something you can say for the guy. He showed up in the locker room and was willing to talk through it.
Mm-hmm. There's a new survey from the CDC that's found, I guess you could say shocking, but also unfortunately not so shocking data surrounding teens and screens. So about 50% of American teens, this is between the ages of 12 and 17, spend at least 4 hours daily in front of screens, which it's a lot. But it's not actually that surprising when you know almost every teen has a phone right in front of them. Not only a phone, but they've got computers, they've got TVs, they've got all sorts of screens. And they say that as screen time rises among these adolescents, researchers are finding a connection between extended screen use and mental health concerns. Not shocking there either. The study found that nearly 27% of teens who reported 4 or more hours of daily screen time also reported experiencing anxiety in the past 2 weeks. And there's a big difference. In comparison, only 12.3% of teens with less screen exposure experienced similar symptoms. There's also reports of elevated depression rates among teens who are using their screens more and more often.
I'm curious as to how much computer screen time plays into this, because a lot of kids are on their screens at school, which is not a bad thing.
I would imagine it's the doom scrolling. It's not when you're getting like work done or being productive, but when you're just letting all the negative things of the world weigh you down. Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
We all fall into
that. So this story I really hadn't heard about, and I makes me feel kind of unconnected, but do you guys know about Peanut, the internet famous squirrel? Yeah, I didn't even know who Peanut was. Well, Peanut was euthanized 2 days after being seized from his New York home, and now fans are outraged. Peanut was known for his cowboy hat, his waffle-loving antics, and gained like a huge, huge social media following, over 500,000 followers. Well, apparently after some anonymous complaints, officials from the State Department of Environmental Conservation took Peanut and actually a raccoon named Fred from their home, and both animals were euthanized. Backlash, right? The news sparked backlash. Even Elon Musk weighed in on the whole thing on Twitter, or an X, excuse me. And he said the government should leave people and their animals alone. Peanut's owner is devastated, wants answers, and is like setting up a fund.
Well, both those animals are dangerous, or can be dangerous, right? The whole rabies issue. I mean, isn't that part of why we have certain rules about animals that can be pets and can't be? I'm not saying they should have been euthanized. I also wonder, could they even be released back into the wild after already being acclimated to being,
a
house pet?
The owner says no. I mean, he rescued Peanut because he saw Peanut's mom be smushed by a car. So he took this little baby squirrel in and said he was trying to like feed the squirrel, and then he released it to the wild, right? Like put it out in the backyard and said, "Go, Peanut, go, be free." And he said the next day Peanut returned and was like sitting at the porch, and half his tail was gone. Like he couldn't survive out there. So the guy took him in and he started this. He's got like a whole like sanctuary to help animals, and people are mad.
Yeah. I saw some of that over the weekend. I was not familiar with Peanut until this weekend. All right. Heather with the news coming up next. John's got the 14-3 Lions bus. We've talked a lot about it. Coming up next, why I'm still not getting on. It's 97-1. Also, a hell of a throw by Jared Goff.
Oh, yeah. Back shoulder. Perfect.
Perfectly executed on a fourth down. Got to have it early in the game. They're not gambles when you convert them like that. They made it look easy. Lions go into Lambeau in the weather. I don't know if you heard, it was supposed to rain. And they handled business. Green Bay's the team that dropped a bunch of passes. Green Bay's the team that missed a field goal, couldn't execute the center quarterback exchange multiple times. Green Bay's the team that had the critical turnover. Detroit, clean, simple. And for Amon-Ra St. Brown, he had a simple message. Green Bay sucks, and he backed it up. Open phone lines, 248-539-9797. John has had a simple message going all the way back to April, I think May, when the schedule came
release.
Out. And you said proudly, boldly, that this was a 14-win football team. To a lot of shock, Tom quickly stepping in saying also that he thought this team would win 14 football games. And as we sit here today, they're 7-1, and you have been asking, begging people to jump on board and enjoy the 14-3 ride.
And to not, I'm not shocked at all, so many people are getting on the 14-3 bus. And some even apologetic that they didn't jump on earlier. Now, I understand 14-3, bit of a stretch. It's very unique that you would win 14 games in one 17-game season. But as I looked at the schedule, and some of it was the expectations that I had for this team. I had no idea they were going to lose Aiden Hutchinson. That was a big blow to the thought of going 14-3. But since then, 3-0. And I do believe a trade is imminent. Now, they're not bringing in Myles Garrett. They're not bringing in Max Crosby, somebody that would be on the same plane as Aiden Hutchinson. Anybody that they bring in is going to be a step down, maybe even two or three steps down from Aiden Hutchinson.
They'll be a role player. Complementary piece is what Campbell told us. Yeah.
But the bus is leaving the building. And I want to know from you or from others why you're not getting on the 14-3 bus. Because as I was told on Friday, they're going to lose. And I believe that they will lose two more games. I don't know which ones those are. I'm still left wondering as to what, when, how. But at this point, don't tell me that you just can't win on any given Sunday. That you can't go in there in the rain at Lambeau on the road. That there's just too much stacked against this team for them to win. And you even asked. I can't believe I can't say that word. Asked the question of, how could this team possibly be 14-3? How could this team not lose a game? And I want to know from you, what is the resistance of getting it? Is it just simply history says they can't do it?
No, it's not history, John.
History, you know what? You're right. Not just NFL history, Lions history says they can't do it.
I'm not going to burden this team with the history of Lions football. I'm not going to do that.
Afraid of greatness. I said it when we went through the schedule and I came up with 14-3. And I thought, oh my goodness, how could I possibly have just done that? I went through the schedule. They only got three losses. Don't be afraid of greatness. I don't think Dan Campbell is. I don't think Kirby Joseph is. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff, Aleem McNeil. They're not afraid of greatness. The opportunity of putting themselves out there every single week, knowing that, they could lose a game. This is the chance, Jim. Get on the bus. There is no quarterback in the NFL that is playing better or more consistently than Jared Goff. Same with the wide receiver. How about the running backs, the 1-2 punch of Montgomery and Gibbs, Laporta, the defense, the best tandem safeties in the NFL? How could you not get on the bus?
John, I am not getting on the 14-3 bus. Because I'm speeding by in the 15-2 express lane, baby. John, I can't get on the 14-3 bus because this team's not losing more than one game the rest of the way. How could you possibly expect this team to lose when nothing phases them? Injuries, weather, suspensions, ejections, it doesn't matter. Nothing phases the 15-2 bound Detroit Lions. So you ask me, I ask you, are you getting on the 15-2 bus, which is speeding past your slow, methodical 14 win nonsense? Tom, you are also invited. Detroit, you are invited. 15-2.
You're such a tool.
He's stealing our thunder.
He's trying to.
Yesterday's game made him go from 12-5 to 15-2.
What a dork. It is an election year. Go ahead. Flip-flop all you want.
John, I really thought that was a problematic spot for the Lions, and we detailed it on Friday, right? You don't have Aiden. It's going to come back to haunt you. No, it's not. It's raining turnovers. Goff. No, it's not. You lose Brian Branch at All Pro. Does it matter? No, it's not. Nothing's going to haunt this team. Nothing phases them.
I was willing to let him, even though we let him, we were going to let him come on last week and he didn't, and we were going to give him this, another chance, which I don't even know if it was deserved. But we're welcoming, and we want all of Detroit to enjoy this because it's just such an unbelievable ride. This is the one thing I didn't see coming, and it kind of makes me not want to let him on.
Well, I'm letting you guys on the 15-win bus.
He can't steal our bit.
Yeah, yeah. Do whatever you want.
He's stealing our bit, isn't he?
Detroit, how big a believer are you? 248-539-9797. Do you believe as much as John or as much as me?
I think
the real believer.
I think Craig Hargrave is one of the more fair people in life that I know. I'm going to let him make the decision here. Can he pull this move?
He can do whatever he wants.
You could one-up me and go to 16-1 if you'd like.
Sure, that's an option.
It is the only option left.
Maybe they'll review week two and they can still go 17-0.
It is stealing their bit. It is completely fair, though.
Sure.
I told you in the overreactions they're going to be favored every single game. Yeah. I laid some clues for you. I loved how worked up you were getting, thinking I was going to be like, no, 12 wins still. John, I, in all seriousness, they just keep winning games that they otherwise had no business winning, and there is something special about this football team.
Yeah, there is. You caught me off guard on this one. You really did.
I loved how all excited you were getting.
I was trying to sell you on a 14-3.
And I'm already looking back in the rearview mirror going, 14, that's it?
Well, I mean, if you're on the 14-3 bus, you are allowed to arrive early.
Okay.
So 14-3 or better. And so, yeah, I mean, it's same bus.
Okay.
Same bus. We're going to the same place.
Where are you guys at? And again, a huge part of this is the deadline tomorrow. Za'Darius Smith believed to be traded. He's already hinting at it on Instagram. And maybe it's not enough for some people. Maybe you feel like Jordan Love had plays that he left out there. Wherever you're at, we want to hear from you. 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
When I needed a new furnace at AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment and the best prices. The biggest difference is their customer service. It's also the 5-year warranty, so I know I'm covered. And not just me. It travels with the home. So when we do sell our home, they're going to also have that the what's left of that 5-year warranty. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. They even offer generators. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast installation. They also offer same-day service. How about that for fast? You want more information? You can find it on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
On the road, double-digit win. Clean football, prepared for the moment. Dan Campbell football, Lions 7-1 on the fast track to 15-2. Or if you're not a believer, 14-3. 248-539-9797. John, we got phone calls. I know you have some thoughts as well.
Yeah, I have now been turned into the logical one at 14-3. It's amazing. I literally did not see that one coming. I thought maybe you'd inch up to 13-4.
But then I would do the, well, I need to see the pass rusher they add.
Right. That's why the bus is leaving today.
And listen, I think they will add a pass rusher in Za'Darius Smith. They may add two of them. I think Brad is working this. And I do think he's built a team that is going to be favored every single game the rest of the way. And at 15-2, I guess I can hand out one loss. But I don't see how this team loses, John. Every bit of adversity they face, they overcome it.
They do. They have. And I'm now the tortoise in the hare.
Some people are.
I'm staying the course, being consistent to 14 wins.
Ticket texter, some of which have said, well played, Costa. Others have said, now I've jinxed them, so I can't win. If I believe in them, I'm a jinx. If I dog them, I'm a hater.
So just to back up the whole jinx thing real quick, I know there's more text that you want to get to.
Yeah.
You've been to how many Wings games?
Oh, I told him this off air. We can do this briefly.
No, just
I've been to 3 Red Wing games, and they've lost all of them by 3 or more goals.
And you had tickets for Saturday night.
It was included in our season ticket package.
And the Wings won.
Yes.
But did you go?
So
Answer the yes or no question. Did you go?
My wife took her dad, who's a big hockey fan, and I was not there, John.
So the answer is no.
Okay.
And they won.
Ticket texter say, John, are you really sure this team's going to lose three games? Who are these three losses?
I said, I'm not sure where they come from.
Texter says, Cookies, you aren't getting on the bus because we aren't slowing down to let you on. You missed the station. No, I've sped past the station. Texter says, I'm waiting for the 16-1 bus.
Oh, yeah.
This one says, Cookies got me fired up on a Monday morning, 15-2 train. Costa may have had the greatest moment on the morning show in years. Let's go, Detroit. Let's go, Jim. This one says, I'm on the 15-2 bus. 15-2 bus ticket, please. The broke boys are on the 14-3 slow bus now. Someone wants us to call Rieger and get his take.
Yeah, Rieger was at 10 wins, right?
Boy, he's been...
meager 10 wins.
He's on the side of the road now.
Yeah.
He really needs a lift.
Him.
This one says, Cookies made me LOL at that little slappy rant. LFG, Jeff and Petoskey.
Yeah, a little slappy rant.
Some people have called it a yuppie one-upsmanship. It is all of those things.
It's Jim, your generation.
Can you hit the breaking news sounder, please?
Yes, 1 second. Hang on. It's a couple pages.
I'm sorry.
Three callers ahead of us.
Live radio. No, it's not Za'Darius Smith. But I did reach out to one Jeff Rieger, and he is already awake this morning. We'll even lose two more games. But yes, you and John were correct. That fateful morning show, LOL. They might be 15-2. That's the official response.
From one Jeff Rieger.
Notarized and everything. Let's get to the phones. Keith and Ypsilanti. Good morning. Lions victory Monday, 97-1. What's up?
How y'all doing this morning, man?
Good.
All right, so look, I'm 42 years old in human years. I'm 84 in Lions years.
Yep.
All right? We not losing no more games the next year sometime. Stop putting that out there. Who going to beat us? Nobody can beat us. Nobody. So but at the end of the day, we're going undefeated. Not undefeated, but, you know, we're not losing for next season. If we lose next season.
This is a hell of a run.
Just to be clear, Keith, you have them finishing the year 16-1, winning every playoff game, and then maybe
and then
next 17-0. Year,
17-0.
Next year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm saying that with full pride, and y'all should be saying it too. Come on now. Come on now. Stop playing with everybody.
I'm not playing. I love this.
Oh.
I know, because every week y'all keep going up. First it was this buzz. Now it's 16-1, 15. Come on, man. We're not losing. No. Okay.
Oh, no. I was at 14-3 in April. I'm at 14-3 in November.
I understand that, but next week you're going to be
why is he so negative, Keith?
I'm positive.
No, you're not. I'm saying, why do you think John's so negative? Why do you think he's only got him winning 14 right now?
Good luck.
Because you're not a real Lions fan.
That's what I've been saying. Keith, I've been saying that.
A Lions fan.
You and me are the real believers, Keith.
Oh.
Yeah, no disrespect to him or anybody else that feel the 14-3, but come on, man, it's our time.
A little disrespect. It's okay just to throw a little dirt over there. I mean, if you really believed, you'd be with Keith and I. Jeff in Birmingham, you're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, so I'm big on not wanting to jinx anything. So I'm really hesitant to say we're going to go 15-2 or 16-1. Even 14-3 is a bit of a stretch. I go 13-4. That's one thing.
Okay.
And my losses are, I think we could lose to, we'll split with Minnesota and Green Bay, the remaining two, and we can lose to either Buffalo or San Francisco. But that's not why I called, really. I'm big on resisting all the gloom and doom about losing Hutch. Hutch, who I love, a Michigan man, love him. He's great. Obviously, teams need a serious pass rusher like that, and we don't have it. But here's some stats that I just did this morning. These are crude stats, okay? But with Hutch, opposing quarterbacks completed 64% of their passes for an average of 265.6 yards per game. After Hutch, and by the way, I know Hutch was lost in the middle of the Dallas game, but I'm saying that
you're just moving from
with Hutch.
Yeah, that's fine. What's the numbers the last three? You got them?
After Hutch, 64% completion percentage, 266 yards for opposing quarterbacks. Same thing.
So,
and by the way, points scored against the Lions with Hutch, 18.2. After Hutch, 19.
So those numbers are maybe eye-opening to some. I think some of this is explained by the Lions have had to blitz more to create the same results. And the concern that we've expressed, because it is a big deal to lose Hutch. I don't want that to I mean, that's, come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to lose Hutch. When you play better, more mobile quarterbacks, and you have to blitz to get home, that is the Achilles heel. Now, it's incumbent on Brad Holmes to do something about it, and the rumors are he will.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we'll most likely hear today. We will probably most likely hear at 10:05.
Of course, right? As we exit the studio and Doug and Gator get set for their show. 248-539-9797. We got more phone calls to get. Basking in another Lions win, another convincing Lions win.
You are basking. You are certainly basking.
And I'd like to do...
You have a glow.
Thank you, John. I'd like to take a look back and cash some receipts from 2 years ago. We'll do that next. 97.1.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.